Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Friday, October 22nd, 2021. Coming up this hour,
a key moderate Democrat agrees to a tax plan to fund President Biden's economic agenda.
Shares of Snap and Intel plummet following earnings reports.
The Fed bans top officials from buying individual stocks and bonds.
And Bitcoin gets another futures ETF launched on Wall Street.
The House votes to hold Steve Bannon in contempt of Congress, plus tragedy on the set of an Alec Baldwin movie. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The Dodgers crushed the Braves to stay alive in the NLCS. The Rangers won. The Islanders and Devils both lost.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
And good Friday morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
And I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by SEI. With an operating platform designed to support all major asset classes, diverse strategies, and investment vehicles, SEI is redefining wealth management. Learn more at seic.com/IMS.
And NASDAQ futures are falling this morning. It is 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. NASDAQ futures are down 52 points this morning, while S&P and Dow futures are pretty much little changed. S&P futures down 2, Dow futures up 23. 10-year Treasury up 3/32, the yield 1.69%, and the yield on the 2-year 0.46%. Nathan.
Okay, Karen, thanks. We'll get more on the markets in just a minute. But first, we may have some movement on President Biden's economic agenda. Bloomberg News has learned that moderate Democrat Senator Kyrsten Sinema has agreed to a plan to fund the measure. Amy Morris has the latest from our Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
Sources say Sinema will support ways of increasing revenue from domestic corporations, global companies, and the very wealthy. The specifics aren't clear, but the changes would provide enough revenue to fund the roughly $2 trillion social spending package. House Ways and Means Chairman Richard Neal says he and Sinema discussed his plans to increase the corporate tax from 21% to 26.5% and the individual rate from 37% to 39.6%. They also talked about taxing the profits that U.S. companies earn abroad, but didn't come away with any formal agreement. In Washington, I'm Amy Morris, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Amy, thank you. Well, like you said, the specifics still are not clear, and the picture gets even cloudier when you listen to what President Biden said about negotiations with Senator Sinema at last night's CNN town hall.
She's very supportive of the environmental agenda in my legislation. Very supportive. She's supportive of almost all the things I mentioned relating to everything from family care to all those issues. Where she's not supportive is she says she will not raise a single penny in taxes on the corporate side and or on wealthy people.
The president says that means he still does not think he'll have the votes to raise tax rates, but he does think Democrats will be able to agree on his overall economic agenda.
Well, meantime, Karen, the White House continues to look at ways to ease the supply chain backlog we've been seeing. The executive director of the port in Long Beach says the stockpile of ships won't clear up until next year. Ed Baxter has the story from our Bloomberg 960 newsroom in San Francisco.
Director Mario Cordero says going to 24/7 operations will make a big difference, but that there are more than 70 vessels anchored off the ports of Long Beach and Los Angeles. On Bloomberg, he was asked about the holidays.
Shop early, because these delays and bottlenecks are going to continue to the end of the year. Hopefully, we'll have some strong mitigating factors in terms of what we're doing. And the good news is there's strong collaboration by everybody in the supply chain to address this.
Cordero says with the ports at 24/7, the priority now is to make the entire supply chain, ports, trucks, warehouses, doing the same. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Ed, thank you. And we are seeing those supply chain issues taking a toll on corporate earnings. Shares of Snap are down almost 20% this morning. The company said supply chain issues are weighing on advertising spending, and a move by Apple is also weighing on results. Bloomberg's Doug Krisner has more.
A key challenge stems from changes to Apple's data collection rules. All apps on the iOS 15 platform must now get iPhone users' permission to be tracked for advertising purposes. The analysis firm Branch says users have agreed just 25% of the time. At the same time, Snap's advertising partners are facing supply chain disruptions and labor shortages, and that will also weigh on revenue. In New York, I'm Doug Krisner, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Doug, thanks. And shares of Intel are down as well this morning, about 10%. 10% after the company gave a lackluster forecast. More on that from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
If Intel's fourth quarter comes in as the chipmaker predicts, revenue will decline 3% from a year earlier, gross margin will drop 6.5 percentage points, and earnings per share will fall about 40%. Investors are focused on whether CEO Pat Gelsinger can improve Intel's products quickly enough to halt market share losses to rivals and defections by customers who are beginning to design their own components. In New York, Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Charlie. While big tech is hurting this morning, Bitcoin is continuing its strong week, and now there may be another catalyst to help the cryptocurrency move higher. We get the details from Bloomberg's Renita Young, who joins us live. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Karen. A second U.S. Bitcoin futures ETF is set to launch. Bloomberg News has learned that the Volcari Bitcoin Strategy Fund will begin trading on the NASDAQ today. It follows the successful debut of the ProShares Bitcoin Strategy ETF, the second busiest launch on record. Meantime, Bitcoin surge tapered off a little bit after hitting that record high on Wednesday, but some strategists see it rising as high as $100,000 by the end of the year. Right now, Bitcoin is trading close to 64,000. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Renita, thank you. Let's turn to the Federal Reserve now. The central bank's making a big move in the wake of a controversy over officials buying securities. We get that story live from Bloomberg's John Tucker. John.
Nathan Fed Chair Jay Powell says the central bank is banning top officials from buying individual stocks and bonds. It's also limiting active trading. The action comes after an embarrassing episode. Dallas Fed President Robert Kaplan and Boston's Eric Rosengren both stepped down following revelations of unusual trading last year. Powell's critics have seized on the disclosures as ammunition to block his potential renomination. In New York, I'm John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thank you. Well, turning overseas, there's news this morning on China's real estate sector. China Evergrande Group has pulled back from the brink of default. Sources say the embattled property developer has paid a bond coupon before this weekend's deadline. A 30-day grace period for the coupon would have expired tomorrow. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. This is Bloomberg.
All right, now it's 5:07 on Wall Street. We're at 64 degrees in Central Park. We got a crash on the westbound LIE by exit 49. Details coming up in traffic. First, Michael Barr with more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. Tragedy on the set of an Alec Baldwin movie in New Mexico. A prop gun misfired, killing a crew member and injuring the film's director. The sheriff's office says it was Baldwin who fired the gun by accident during filming of the Western movie Rust. Retired Albuquerque Police Department Commander Paul Syke handled prop guns in other movies. He says while it's unlikely a live round could get into the mix, it could happen if someone was loading the prop gun in a hurry.
When loading that magazine, you would be able to clearly see, okay, look, this has a bullet on the end, a round on the end of it, or it doesn't.
Syke also says injuries are possible with a blank round as well. The full House voted Steve Bannon, an aide to former President Donald Trump, is in contempt of Congress for defying subpoenas from a panel investigating the January 6th riot at the U.S. Capitol. The vote was 229 to 202, with nine Republicans breaking ranks with their party leaders and joining all Democrats in voting yes. GOP Representative Nancy Mace of South Carolina was one of the few Republicans voting to hold Steve Bannon in contempt.
It's important that no matter who's in power, that we are consistent and our beliefs and our values in the Constitution and the powers and privileges thereof of Congress.
Representative Mace also says her vote was meant to safeguard the subpoena power of Congress in case Republicans need to use that tool when they are back in power. President Joe Biden said the U.S. was committed to defending Taiwan from a Chinese attack. Biden made his comments during a CNN town hall in Baltimore to protect the democratically ruled island.
China, Russia, and the rest of the world knows we have the most powerful military in the history of the world. Don't worry about whether they're going to be more powerful. What you do have to worry about is whether or not they're going to engage in activities that will put them in a position where they may make a serious mistake.
A Chinese foreign ministry spokesman offered only a mild rebuke, urging the U.S. to speak prudently on Taiwan and abide by its agreements. The month-long search for the only person of interest in the death of Gabby Petito is over. The FBI confirmed The human remains found Wednesday in a Florida nature reserve are those of Brian Laundrie, who's been missing since mid-September. Global News 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Okay, Michael, thank you. Almost 5:10 on Wall Street. Time for the Burden Accountants and Advisors Sports Report. Good morning, John Stashower.
Good morning, Nathan. Three home runs in a postseason game. It's an exclusive club. Reggie Jackson's in it. He did it at Yankee Stadium 44 years ago against the Dodgers. Last night, a Dodger joined the club.
2-2. Taylor with a fly ball to deep left center field. Chris Taylor has hit his third home run of the night and becomes the 11th different player in baseball history with three home runs in a postseason game.
KLAC, the calls for three home runs for Taylor and two for A.J. Pollock. Together they drove in 10 runs. The Dodgers facing elimination and trailing Atlanta early on 2-0. Blew past the Braves 11-2. Atlanta still leads the NLCS 3-2, but they blew a 3-1 NLCS lead to the Dodgers last year. The ALCS is 3-2 Astros, game 6 with the Red Sox tonight in Houston. Local hockey, another road win for the Rangers. 3-1 at Nashville. That's their third win in a row, all with Igor Shesterkin in goal. He allowed only one goal in all three games. Islanders lost 3-2 in overtime at Columbus. The Devils beaten by Washington 4-1 in Newark. Knicks off the season opening double overtime win. Start a home-and-home with the Magic tonight in Orlando. The Nets play in Philadelphia. Steph Curry last night, 45 points. Two long-range threes in the last minute as Golden State beat the Clippers by two. Cleveland Browns had to play without quarterback Baker Mayfield and their two big backs, Nick Chubb, Kareem Hunt. They still beat Denver 17-14. The Broncos 2-0 against the Jets and Giants, but 1-4 against everyone else. Giants Sunday host Carolina. The Jets are in New England. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan.
All right, John, thanks. Tech under pressure this morning. NASDAQ futures down 50 points. Dow futures up 18. S&P futures down 2. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And it's coming up to 5:12 on Wall Street. The Bloomberg Sports Report was brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Let them help protect you, your family, and your business.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and stocks in Europe advancing after China Evergrande Group pulled back from the brink of default, injecting a note of optimism into markets at the end of a week dominated by earnings reports and inflation worries. NASDAQ futures are falling as Snap tumbles in early trading on a tempered earnings outlook. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. NASDAQ futures are down about 55 points this morning. S&P futures, little changed up. They're down 3. Dow futures are up 12, also little changed. The DAX in Germany's up 0.6%. 10-year Treasury up 5/32, yield 1.68%. Yield on the 2-year, 0.45%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.4% or 35 cents at $82.85 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.7% or $11.50 at $17.93.40 an ounce. The euro 1.1636 against the dollar. British pound 1.3804. The yen at 113.92. And Bitcoin at $63,502. Also watching shares of Snap. They're down almost 20%. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. A prop firearm discharge by veteran actor Alec Baldwin, who is producing and starring in a Western movie, killed his director of photography and injured the director at the movie set outside Santa Fe. Production has been halted on the film Rust. President Joe Biden said the U.S. was committed to defending Taiwan from a Chinese attack. It's some of his strongest comments yet as the administration faces calls to clarify its stance on the democratically ruled island. Major League Baseball, the Dodgers stave off elimination in the NLCS, beating the Braves 11-2. Atlanta still leads that series 3-2. Thursday night football, the Browns beat the Broncos 17-14. NBA, the Warriors won. In the NHL, the Capitals beat the Devils. The Rangers won. The Islanders lost in overtime to the Blue Jackets 3-2. Global News 24. 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Okay, Michael, thanks for coming up to 520 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. We want to get more now on our top story this morning, a possible breakthrough on one of the biggest sticking points for Democrats in their ongoing negotiations among themselves over President Biden's economic agenda. That sticking point? How to pay for it. Joining us live, Julie Norman, professor and lecturer on politics and international relations at University College London. Julie, it's good to have you with us this morning. I hope you can sort out what the reporting is here. We're told that Senator Sinema, the moderate from Arizona, has agreed to a broad outline to raise revenue from corporations and the wealthy. At the same time, we heard from President Biden last night at that town hall saying that Senator Sinema is still opposed to raising tax rates on corporations and the wealthy. So where are we?
Well, thanks and good morning, Nathan. Right. So this has been one of the sticking points of this bill, not only the price tag and what's in it, but also how to pay for it. And Senator Sinema has been the most outspoken about not wanting to raise taxes on corporations or on individuals. But she had a pretty long meeting yesterday with the head of the Ways and Means Committee. And again, it's still unclear on exactly which provisions she is maybe being willing to compromising on, but it's being suggested that they might be looking at the 15% minimum corporate tax, in which companies would have to pay at least 15% no matter what other deductions and loopholes they're employing. Other tax fairness proposals, perhaps supporting the excise tax on stock buybacks, which is estimated to be about 2%, and perhaps the tax on unrealized capital gains for billionaires. So those are some of the provisions that it's seeming like Sinema might be supporting that don't increase kind of the headline tax mark, but would increase some of those funding coming into this bill. It's still unclear if that would be enough to reach the $1.9 or $2 trillion point that Biden's speaking about right now. But this is good news for Biden, nonetheless, to have some movement in this area.
It does seem as though President Biden is sort of resigning himself to the idea that just from the top line on his economic agenda, that it's probably not going to be as big as he wanted, not as transformative as he wanted. If that turns out to be the case, what does that mean for the president politically?
Well, I think Biden is right that even if this passes as a $1.9 or $2 trillion bill, that it's still quite significant and quite substantial. There's obviously been a lot of focus in the last week or two, especially among Democrats, about what is not going to be in the bill and what is being taken out. But there is still a lot in the bill that Biden will want to tout, and that's still really quite popular. They're probably going to drop the two-year community college plan, but they will still be hopefully pushing through the universal pre-K program, which Biden supports. Family leave won't be 12 weeks, but it might be 4 weeks. The child tax credit will be extended, but for not as long. So there's still a lot of very popular provisions in this bill, just not quite to the same extent as many progressive Democrats in particular wanted.
I think we also heard an acknowledgement from the president last night that a lot of Americans don't really seem to know exactly what is in this piece of legislation that the president's pushing for here. Do the Democrats face a messaging problem when it comes to their agenda?
Well, I think that's certainly a challenge all the time. And we saw this 10 years ago when Obama was trying to get through the Affordable Care Act as well, especially when bills are being debated within parties, across parties. It's very difficult to get a clear messaging to the American public about what is actually going to be in that final bill when it's all still being hashed out. Again, when there has been polling on specific provisions, there has been widespread support, sometimes, upwards of 80% for some of the family plans in particular. However, that's exactly right. When people are just asked about the plan in general, most Americans do not really know what's in it. And that's partly because, again, even on Capitol Hill, there's a bit of a lack of clarity on what's actually going to be in this bill.
Only about 30 seconds left here, Julie, and only about 9 days before the Democrats' self-imposed deadline to come to an agreement. Do you think they get there on time?
I think they really need to. I mean, we have the highway funding expiring at the end of the month, so the infrastructure bill does need to pass unless that is extended. The Virginia gubernatorial race will be on November 2nd. Democrats need a good win going into that. And Biden will be heading at the end of next week to the G20 and then to the COP climate summit. So it will really help him get some positive momentum behind it and to get out of this rut of falling approval ratings that he's been in for the last 2 months.
Thanks for this. Good having you on, as always. Julie Norman, professor and politics and international relations lecturer at University College London, with us this morning. Looking at futures, S&P futures down 3.5 points, Dow futures up 8, NASDAQ futures under a bit of pressure this morning. They're down 55 points, and the 10-year Treasury yield 1.68%. This is Bloomberg. It's 5:25 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Let them help protect you, your family, and your business.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 991. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 4 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour, beginning with the latest on President Biden's economic agenda. Democratic Senator Kyrsten Sinema has been a holdout on supporting how to pay for the president's plan. But now Bloomberg News has learned she's agreed to a broad outline on raising tax revenue from companies and the wealthy. The details are not clear, and President Biden says Sinema is still opposed to raising tax rates, but he thinks they'll ultimately get a deal.
Look, I was a senator for 370 years, and I was relatively good at putting together deals.
President Biden spoke at a CNN town hall last night in Baltimore. We're told the current plan calls for using tax enforcement to increase revenue from companies and the wealthy.
All right, let's turn to markets now, Karen. Watching shares of Snap this morning down about 20% in early trading. The owner of the Snapchat app reported earnings that fell short of estimates. We get more from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
Snap said it was weighed down by Apple's new data collection restrictions and their effect on digital advertising measurements. The company also warned that global supply chain issues are discouraging advertisers from trying to reach new customers and that this pullback will impact the company's business in the fourth quarter. In New York, Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Charlie, thank you. Well, shares of Intel also falling this morning. They're down 10% after the chipmaker said future profitability will suffer because of increased spending on manufacturing technology.
Bitcoin is set to close out a banner week with the launch of another ETF today. We get the latest live from Bloomberg's Renita Young. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Nathan. Bloomberg News has learned that the Vulcari Bitcoin Strategy Fund will begin trading on the NASDAQ today. It follows the successful debut of the ProShares ETF, which racked up assets over $1 billion in just 2 days. Now, some strategists see Bitcoin rising as high as $100,000 by the end of the year. Right now, Bitcoin is trading just over $63,000. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Renita, thank you. And now to the Federal Reserve, where there's news that the central bank is making a big move on trading rules. We get the story live from Bloomberg's John Tucker. John.
The Fed will ban top officials from buying individual stocks and bonds. This after Dallas Fed President Kaplan and Boston's Eric Rosengren both stepped down following revelations of unusual trading. Critics of the Fed Chair Powell have since seized on the disclosures as ammunition to block his potential renomination. In New York, I'm John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thank you. And S&P futures are little changed this morning, and this is Bloomberg.
It's 5:33 on Wall Street. We're at 64 degrees in Central Park and still dealing with a crash on the southbound New Jersey Turnpike in the truck lanes at exit 8A. We'll get details shortly in traffic. First, Michael Barr with more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much. We are checking several stories that are taking place right now. Let's start with Steve Bannon. The House has voted to have Steve Bannon in contempt of Congress. It happened when 9 Republicans also joined all of the Democrats in the House. This is the chairman of the committee, Benny Thompson.
Our investigation is going forward. We're hearing from witnesses, reviewing documents, analyzing data. Mr. Bannon stands alone in his defiance, and we will not stand for it.
Chairman Benny Thompson, and it now goes to Attorney General Merrick Garland. There's been a tragedy on the set of the Alec Baldwin movie Rust. A crew member was killed and the producer was injured. This is one of the technicians that has been involved in other movies as well. This is retired Albuquerque Police Department Commander Paul Syke.
It's a very strict process, very controlled, because they obviously know we're dealing with weapons that are capable of firing live ammunition.
Production has been halted on the film Rust. President Joe Biden said the U.S. was committed to defending Taiwan from a Chinese attack. Biden made his comments during a CNN town hall in Baltimore to protect the democratically ruled island.
China, Russia, and the rest of the world knows we have the most powerful military in the history of the world. Don't worry about whether they're going to be more powerful. What you do have to worry about is whether or not they're going to engage in activities that will put them in a position where they may make a serious mistake.
A Chinese foreign ministry spokesman offered only a mild rebuke, urging the U.S. to speak prudently on Taiwan and abide by its agreements. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Okay, Michael, thanks. $5.35 on Wall Street. Time for the Burden Accountants and Advisors Sports Report with John Stashow.
Thanks, Nathan. Nothing new about the Dodgers avoiding elimination. They did it three times versus the Braves in last year's NLCS. LA this year won that one-game wild-card playoff. Did that on a Chris Taylor walk-off home run ninth inning. Trailed the Giants 2-1 in the NLDS. Stayed alive, winning the last two games of the Dodgers season. Could have ended last night. Stayed alive. Beat Atlanta 11-2. Taylor homered three times. The 11th to do that in postseason history. A.J. Pollock hit two homers together. They drove in 10 runs, so the Braves have to be wondering if what happened a year ago will happen again. They do still lead the NLCS 3-2, Game 6 tomorrow in Atlanta. ALCX, Game 6 tonight in Houston. Astros lead 3-2. They've held the Red Sox last two games to only three runs, eight hits. Giants coach Joe Judge asked about the team's 1-5 record, took the blame, said the fish stinks from the head down. His team does have a ton of injuries, Judge says. That is not an excuse.
Part of the game, but it's part of the game we all sign on. And it's our job to prepare every player. It's every player's job to be ready to produce. So we have that next man up mentality. Not so we're trying to push anybody out of the way, but when something happens, we got to keep moving forward. That game's going to be played either way.
No Andrew Thomas for the next few weeks, the left tackle. Giants also unlikely on Sunday to have Saquon Barkley and the wide receivers Kenny Galladay and Kadarius Toney. They host Carolina. Ex-Jets Sam Darnold back at MetLife. Giants already 0-3 at home. The boos will get louder with another loss. Jets Sunday at New England. Patriots beat the Jets back in week two. The Pats have yet to win at home. Last night in Cleveland, the Browns beat the Broncos 17-14. Hockey, third straight win for the Rangers, 3-1 at Nashville. Devils lost to Washington 4-1. The Islanders a 3-2 overtime loss at Columbus. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Thank you.
All right, John, thanks. 5:37 on Wall Street. Time for the Tri-State Business Report with Bloomberg's Ed Corey.
More than 2,000 workers at four Amazon facilities in Staten Island have signed a petition asking federal labor officials to greenlight an election to form a new union, according to organizers. It's the latest sign of labor strife between the e-commerce giant and its employees. Well, Manhattan retail rents plunged again, even as the city is starting to come back from the pandemic. Jones Lang LaSalle says that average asking rents fell almost 12% in the third quarter from a year earlier across all major Manhattan shopping corridors, including Fifth Avenue, Times Square, and Madison Avenue. The COVID-era appetite for suburban real estate sent Greenwich single-family home sales to a record in the third quarter. Even with listings at an all-time low in the Connecticut town, transactions rose 5.5% from a year ago to 328, the most for any quarter in data going back a decade. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey.
Thank you, Ed. It's 5:38 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and for KCBS in San Francisco, I'm reporting that changes to Apple's data collection rules are hitting the maker of Snapchat.
I'm Steve Potisk, and on KNX in Los Angeles, we're talking about toy maker Mattel saying it's working through supply bottlenecks.
I'm Caroline Hetfield, Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We're reporting on the slump in UK retail sales and GfK consumer confidence as households face soaring energy and food costs.
I'm Ed Corey. WWJ in Detroit. I'm reporting Stellantis and Samsung are building a battery factory in the U.S.
Those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. Well, another busy week for third quarter earnings wraps up today as American Express opens its books. Bloomberg's Larry Kofsky has a preview.
Amex has warned that the Delta COVID-19 variant has restrained travel and entertainment spending, an important category for the company. Still, revenue and profits are expected to have increased sharply versus a year ago. Amex is expected to report a profit of $1.76 per share versus $1.30 last year, according to a Bloomberg consensus. Larry Kofsky, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Larry, thank you. And coming up on the economic front this morning, research firm Market issues its U.S. manufacturing report for early October. Let's get more on that now from Bloomberg's Vinny Del Giudice.
It's been a seesaw ride for America's factories. In September, the Market Manufacturing Index dropped for the second month in a row after setting a July record. People want to buy things, but factories can't make them. Delivery delays and supply shortages coming out of the pandemic persist. Twisting some Rolling Stones lyrics, you can't always get what you want or what you need, even if you try. Vinny Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Nicely played, Larry. Thank you for that. All right, S&P futures now down 3 points. Dow futures up 12. NASDAQ futures down 54 points. The 10-year Treasury is up 3/32 now with the yield at 1.69%. Yield on the 2-year almost 0.46. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. It's almost 5:41 on Wall Street. The Bloomberg Sports Report was brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Let them help protect you, your family, and your business.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business App, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
I'm Karen Moscow. This update is brought to you by SEI. Visionary asset managers find opportunity where others are challenged. Exploit disruption's potential with SEI's global operating platform. Find out how at SEIC.com/IMS. Stocks in Europe are rising after China Evergrande pulled back from the brink of default, and NASDAQ futures are falling as snap tumbles in early trading on a tempered earnings outlook. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, NASDAQ futures are down 55 points, S&P futures down 3, Dow futures up 10, the DAX in Germany is up 0.6%, 10-year Treasury up 4/32, yield 1.68%, the yield on the 2-year 0.45%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.4% or 32 cents at $82.82 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.7% or $11.50 at $17.93.40 an ounce. The euro 1.1639 against the dollar. British pound 1.3807 and the yen at 113.89. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. Trump aide Steve Bannon was held in criminal contempt of Congress for defying subpoenas from a panel investigating the January 6th riot at the U.S. Capitol. The move puts the Justice Department in the middle of a politically charged legal battle. President Joe Biden told a CNN town hall the U.S. is committed to defending Taiwan from a Chinese attack. It was some of President Biden's strongest comments yet as the administration faces calls to clarify its stance on the democratically ruled island. Major League Baseball, the Dodgers stave off elimination in the NLCS, beating the Braves 11-2. Atlanta still leads the series 3-2. Thursday night football, the Browns beat the Broncos 17-14. In the NBA, the Warriors won. In the NHL, the Capitals beat the Devils 4-1. The Rangers won. The Islanders lost in OT to the Blue Jackets 3-2. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Michael, thanks. It's 5:49 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Time to get a pandemic update now. Booster shots have another seal of approval this morning, this time from the Centers for Disease Control, signing off on another dose of Moderna and Johnson & Johnson vaccine against COVID-19. Let's get some insights now on this. Andy Pekos joins us once again, professor of molecular microbiology and immunology at the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health. Professor, always good to speak with you. So now we have the sign-off from both the CDC and the FDA on booster shots. Who should be thinking about getting them now?
Well, we'll start with anybody who got the J&J vaccine. And if you've got the J&J vaccine and you're at least 2 months away from that dose, you will be able to get a booster shot. If you've got the Moderna vaccine and you fall into a couple of categories, either you're above the age of 65 or you have a secondary medical condition that predisposes you to severe COVID-19, or if you work in a high-risk situation like healthcare workers, teachers, all those individuals should be able to get a booster shot at 6 months after their second dose of Moderna.
There's also been a lot of talk about mixing and matching, whether people should think about that, particularly for Johnson & Johnson. Is that something that people should consider?
There's a lot of talk about that. There's a lot of data. This mix and match study that showed that essentially any booster works really well with any initial vaccine. That's the take-home message. So when you line up for your booster, you really should be able to take anything that's available at the pharmacy because all the boosters really work well in terms of increasing your antibody responses and therefore providing more protection, again, particularly for those high-risk groups.
Are we getting closer to a point where everybody is going to need to get booster shots? Is that where this is going?
Well, it's important to realize that the vaccine program for COVID-19 was designed to get people high amounts of immunity in the fastest time possible. Now we're transitioning to a strategy that allows us to have the longest amount of antibodies and other immunity present. So we will be hearing about strategies eventually to boost everybody because I think to give us long-term immunity for 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, you're going to have a booster eventually. But the take-home message right now is really, unless you're in a high-risk group, you really have good protection from severe disease with the current vaccine regimen. We will be turning that into a one that provides us better longer-term immunity soon.
I'm interested in this idea of a shift in strategy here. We're seeing more statistics showing that as the vaccine rollout continues, we're seeing more people go in for booster shots than for first doses. We've still got something like, tell me if I'm wrong, 60 to 65 million Americans who are eligible that still haven't gotten that first dose. If we're shifting to a different strategy here, what does that mean for that those unvaccinated people?
Well, if you're unvaccinated, the message is still really simple. Go get vaccinated. And that's irrespective of whether you've had COVID-19 or if you've been fortunate to avoid it up until now. Vaccination induces the strongest and most sort of consistent immune response, and it does it in a safe way. So we really have to remember that boosters are protecting against severe disease and vulnerable populations. But to get the case numbers down and really get control of this pandemic, we have to find those individuals who aren't vaccinated, who've been infected and aren't vaccinated, and get them in line to get the vaccine because that's what's really going to turn the corner and limit these surges that we've been seeing in the first 18 months of the pandemic.
Only about 30 seconds left here, Andy, but we're expecting an FDA advisory panel to meet next week on vaccinations for young kids, 5 to 11-year-olds. How do you think that's going to shake out?
The data looks really strong for that population. Remember, that's the population right now that has the most number of susceptible people, the least immunity. It's true that disease isn't as severe in those children, but FDA has been looking really carefully at the safety signatures because of that. And the initial data that's being submitted to the FDA really looks good in that the rollout, the approval should come through from that committee.
Thanks for this. Andy Pekos, professor of molecular microbiology and immunology at the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health, which is supported by Michael Bloomberg, founder and majority owner of Bloomberg LP, the parent company of Bloomberg Radio. Karen.
All right.
right, Nathan, thank you. It's 5:54 on Wall Street. It's time for the Bloomberg Law Report, brought to you by American Arbitration Association. Business disputes are inevitable. Resolve faster with the American Arbitration Association, the global leader in alternative dispute resolution for over 90 years. More at ADR.org. Let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning from Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
Former President Donald Trump hired Nelson, Mullins, Riley, and Scarborough as legal counsel as he prepares to create a social media company to battle big tech. An IRS official says detailed guidance will be issued soon on how to provide information to the government on resolving employment tax issues. A California appellate court ruled United Parcel Service cannot avoid a citation and fine issued by state safety regulators over improper footwear policies for workers who have to move heavy crates.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need, all on one legal research platform, including guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
Thanks, Jeff. Now another legal story we're watching brings us to a former Boeing pilot. The pilot was charged with deceiving U.S. aviation regulators in the first prosecution related to two fatal 737 MAX incidents. And for more on the case, Bloomberg's June Grosso speaks with Mark Lytle, a partner at Nixon Peabody.
The charges are really twofold. One is charges related to false statements and intent to defraud regarding false writings or certifications, records regarding an aircraft part. And that's a statute that's not normally used, but it's basically titled Fraud Involving Aircraft Parts in Interstate Commerce. That's counts 1 through 2. Counts 3 through 6 are wire fraud counts. Wire fraud is an allegation that someone had a scheme, an artifice to defraud, and obtained money and property by false and fraudulent pretenses. And that's the whole indictment. It's a 6-count indictment. There's also a forfeiture notice where they try to collect any money that was gained as a result of this, you know, alleged crime or traceable to those offenses.
There's a trail of messages and emails from Faulkner where he bragged of using Jedi mind tricks on regulators, complained that the MAX was designed by clowns who in turn are supervised by monkeys. Will that be a key part of the prosecution's case against him?
Well, it depends. They may try to bring, you know, certainly the case is an example that continues to show up, you know, in the modern era with email and electronic communications where people sort of just say what's on their mind and don't think about what they're saying. So there's certainly some of those statements by Faulkner are going to be embarrassing. I would expect that the government would try to use those to the extent that they put knowledge in Faulkner's head about the MCAS failure or the MCAS simulation that he learned about. I expect that defense attorneys would try to limit that because it might be prejudicial or not relevant really to the charges that are alleged against him.
And that's Mark Lytle, a partner at Nixon Peabody, speaking with Bloomberg's June Grosso. Catch more of that interview, plus analysis of the latest legal news, by subscribing to the Bloomberg Law Podcast or downloading the show at Bloomberg.com/podcast. Attorneys can find exceptional legal research and business development tools at BloombergLaw.com and on the Bloomberg Terminal at BLawGo. And NASDAQ futures are falling this morning, down about 52 points. And straight ahead, a check on the business headlines and all the news you need to start your day. And this is Bloomberg.